Romans chapter 11, I want to read from verse 33 to the end of the chapter. I'm not going to go into these verses in any depth or anything like that, but I want to read them, and it'll be verse 36 that will be particularly applicable to this evening. Verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." Let's read that last verse again. "For of him, and to him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." I'm sure many here have heard of the name Sherlock Holmes, that famous detective. And some of you may have heard of his sidekick, John Watson, or Dr. Watson. Well, the story goes that Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. And after sharing a good meal, they decided, well, it was time to get their tent set up and then to get a good night's rest. And as they were sleeping away, 3 o'clock in the morning, Holmes nudges Watson and says, "Watson, look up and tell me what you see." And Watson said, "I see millions of stars." Holmes asks, "And what does that tell you?" Watson replies, "Well, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Theologically, it tells me that God is great and we are small. Horologically, it tells me it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Meteorologically, it tells me that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Holmes?" And no doubt Watson was all pleased with all he was able to say. Holmes replies, "It tells me that someone has stolen our tent." Holmes, in the pure wisdom that he had, he could get away from all the information and just see what was important. He was likely to get wet if it rained. And whenever it comes to the subject of guidance, we can think about all the information, we think about all the details. How will I know God's will regarding a marriage partner? How will I know God's will regarding career? How will I know God's will regarding friendships? How will I know God's will regarding the future? So many details, so many decisions, so many choices. How will I know God's will? And while those details are very important, yet I want to commence this evening by simply looking at the great reality. The focal point. Holmes is able to get right to the focal point and say, "Well, look, someone's stolen our tent. That's the most eminent thing. That's the most important thing right now." That's what we should focus on immediately. And so let's just begin to look at the subject of guidance. The word guidance, if you look up the dictionary, it simply means to be pointed or to be shown the right way. And that implies, therefore, to you and I this evening, that there is such a thing as a right way. There is such a thing tonight as God's will for your life. But what is that will? What is the overarching, what is the big picture, as it were? What is our focus? What is it simply? Some of you who would attend Sunday school or attend a youth fellowship may be taught the shorter catechism, in which case the very first question answer is, what is man's chief end? Well, what's man's great purpose in life? And the answer is that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. For example, we read here in Romans 11, verse 36, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things." And think about that last bit. Oh yes, God is the one who's created us. Oh yes, we've come from him. And we'll only ever serve him through Christ. But notice, it's to him. Everything in life, it's created for God's pleasure, God's delight, more importantly, God's glory. To him be glory forever. Amen. Or indeed, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want, turn me please to it, just very briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And we're told, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink," even the very tiny little things in life, the most mundane that you do all day, every day, "whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." What is God's will for your life and for mine? Simply, that we should glorify him. because he alone is glorious, he alone is beautiful, he alone is worthy of being glorified. Now, I remember learning the Shorter Catechism whenever I was younger, and I remember thinking, well, that's such a simple answer. What does it mean to glorify God? What does that mean in practice, to glorify God? The word glorify means to lift up. What does it mean to glorify God, though? Well, as you go throughout Scripture, you and I will find that God created man in his image for his glory. But you look later on in Scripture to, for example, likes of Colossians 3:10, we read that whenever God created man in his image, it wasn't a physical image. God does not have two eyes and a nose and a mouth. No, to be created in God's image is created in true knowledge, that we would know God. God created man, according to Ephesians 4:24. God created man in righteousness, that we would love God, and in holiness, that we would be like God. Not in being all-powerful, but that we would be holy and pure and true. Why is it that God has created you and I, that we would know him, that we would love him, and that we would make him known, reveal him to this world? We'd be like him. Now, the problem is, of course, never man fell. Man didn't want to obey God. Man didn't want to know God. He loved darkness rather than light. Man didn't want to be like God. Man wanted to do his own thing. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit, we have the works of the flesh. Man didn't want to love God. He wanted to love himself. But yet in salvation, what do we find? We find that God changes a person's heart so that they will what? Do God's will. And what is God's will? Look at me, John chapter 17. What is God's will? When we come to the subject of guidance, being pointed the right way, being pointed in the will of God, what is God's will? In the overarching idea, we'll get the details in a minute, but John chapter 17, Jesus Christ's prayer to his Father before he gave his life on the cross. Verse 3, we read, and this is life eternal, this is salvation, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and thy sent. Oh yes, salvation is about having our sins forgiven. Oh yes, it is that. But salvation is about knowing God. Not merely knowing about him, but knowing him personally. Having fellowship with him. And I ask you tonight, do you have fellowship with God? You may know about him. You may sit in church. You may hear him. Know much about God. Hear him being taught and preached. But do you actually know him? Do you know what it is to pray to him? Do you know what it is to read his word and for him to speak to your heart through it and to reveal Christ? Do you know what it is to know God? Know that you are his child. Not an enemy, but a child. Oh, God's will for your life and mine is that we know him. And every day we have fellowship with him. We come to his word. He shows us Christ in his word. And we see Christ. And then that's the second thing. We love him. Some of you may know the story in Matthew chapter 22. If you want, you can turn to it. Matthew 22, a Pharisee comes to Christ. He tries to tempt Christ, test Christ, try to get Christ to stumble regarding a very hard question regarding the Old Testament law. And he turns around and says, what's the great commandment? Jesus Christ said, love the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. So yes, we are to know God. We are to love God. And then what is the great commandment? The great commission, Matthew 28. One to all the world, to preach the gospel, and Mark 16. So this evening, at the very outset, where is it that God leads us? Whenever we look at guidance, where is it that God will guide us? What is it that he guides us to? Very simply, that we will know him, that we will love him, that we will be like him, that we will reveal him to this world. It's very easy whenever you're younger to think that life is about getting a good career. Life is about being popular and having many friends. That's a successful life. Life is about having a lovely home with that white picket fence. Life is about having that great car. Life is about just enjoying yourself, having all the pleasure that you want, having all the relationships that you want. Life is about prestige, getting that position in life, getting that prominence. Life is about all these things. And if I was only to get that, then I've had a successful life. But that's nonsense. God's will for you at the most basic level. Oh, he may bless you with other things, but at the most basic level, God's will for you is this, that you will know him and that you will love him and that you will make him known, reveal him to others, to your family, to your friends. And whenever you and I understand that this simple basic thing, the foundation, as it were, then you and I will be able to understand other details of life. For example, whenever it comes to looking for a marriage partner, looking for a wife, or looking for a husband, you have to ask yourself this question. Well, whenever I'm looking for someone, are they actually going to encourage me to know more about God? Or are they not? Are they going to encourage me in my love for God? Are they not? Are they going to encourage me and help me as I seek to serve God? Or are they going to hinder me? Some of you may know about a minister who's now with the Lord. His name was Reverend Austin Allen. And whenever I was in college, Reverend Austin Allen passed away, and I went to his funeral. And during his funeral, someone was giving a tribute. And during that tribute, someone spoke about how Reverend Austin Allen had given us advice about marriage. And it was this: whenever you're looking for a wife or look for a husband, remember this, that they're going to be like a wind. Either they will blow out your flame for God, or else they will fan it. Either blow it out, or they'll fan the flames. And therefore, if you and I want to know the will of God, ask yourself, once you understand the foundation, is this person going to lead me on with God, increase my knowledge of God, increase my love for God, increase my service for God, or are they going to hinder it? If they're going to hinder it, well, that is certainly not God's will. God's not directing me towards that. You could apply it to your career. Does what God want me to go into this career? Well, ask yourself, is it going to give you an opportunity whereby you can continue to learn more about God? If you're going to go into a career that demands you to work 120 hours in a week, you're going to be shattered and wrecked. You're going to have no time to learn about God, to spend time reading his word. Is that really what God's going to want you to do? Does God want you to go into a career whereby you can love him and obey him in it? A career that's impure, a career that's going to be filled with selfishness and deceit, that, for example, that you're always having to go and tell lies? No, God's not going to direct you into that because you can't love him in that, you can't obey him in that, you can't make him known in that. See, once you understand the foundation, God's will for your life, to know him, to love him, to reveal him, well, then you begin to understand that the details of life must fall into this foundation. What about daily life? You know, what's God's will for my daily life? You know, what's God's will for me, how I spend my time? Oh, yes, I go to school during the day. What's God's will for me in that? To do it as unto the Lord. Do it in love for him. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, do. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it with thy might. Ephesians chapter 6, it may be in your workplace. Servants, obey your master in the Lord, and do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Love God. You see, guidance, oh, it's so easy to be like Watson, as it were, look at the stars and think about the stars meteorologically and theologically and horologically and all the rest of it, and find all the information and begin to think, oh, guidance is such a difficult concept, such a difficult subject. But yet, whenever you begin to see, well, this is the basic foundation. God's will for you and I is just to know God and love God and to make God known. Then everything else begins to become a little bit more clear. Where will God point us to? He'll point us in the knowing him, loving him, and revealing him. Now, how will God guide us? How will God point us? Well, that's a very important question. God will direct us through his word. Some people in life, they will look to their feelings. I feel that I should do this thing. And I feel I should do that thing. And as we will see in a moment's time, there is such things as God's promptings. But first and foremost, God will direct us through his word. There is a statement that people will often talk about, and it's simply this, that the scriptures, or the word of God, are our only rule of faith and practice. Whenever I was in Whitfield College, I was given a piece of coursework, and I was told to prove that statement, and it ended up being about 8,000 or 9,000 words. Oh, horrible coursework. But our rule of faith and practice, everything that United believe and everything United do, is to be based on God's word. That's how God guides us. That's how God leads us. He speaks to us through his word. Let me ask this evening, are you one who spends time in God's word? Or are you one who doesn't bother? Maybe you say, I want to do God's will, but I just couldn't be bothered reading that. I want to know God, but I couldn't be bothered spending time in God's word. I couldn't be bothered spending time in church, hearing God preach and learning about him that way. I just couldn't be bothered. I want to love God, but yet, you know what? I couldn't be bothered hearing of Christ, which will stir and motivate my heart. If you want to know God, love God, if you want to reveal God, well, then you must spend time in his word. You see, you and I need God's word. I'm sure many of you here are mighty clever indeed. But no matter how clever you are, you and I need God. We need him. Well, yes, it's true, whenever God made Adam and God made man, he placed him in that garden. As we saw, Adam was made with that knowledge of God. Adam was made with that heart that loved God. Adam was made in that likeness to God. He was holy, he was pure, he loved truth, all these things. But yet Adam fell. Jesus Christ tells us that man, as a result, he loves darkness. He doesn't want to know the truth. He loves the darkness. He doesn't want to know the light. He loves darkness. He loves his own ideas. Romans 1 tells that the creation reveals that there is a God, but yet man wants to turn the true knowledge of God and turn God into four-footed beasts and all these things. You see, man, he needs a new heart. He needs a new life. And you and I need the scriptures because they will reveal to us the truth. You see, scriptures alone are certain. We need the scriptures to reveal to us who God is. You and I could go into the streets of our hometown and you and I could ask people, so what do you think God is? And some people say, well, I think God's like this. And others say, I think God's like that. And I think God's so loving, there's no such thing as hell. Or I think God, you know, he's so great, but he's not really in control of everything. And people could have their own ideas of God. But if you and I want to know God aright, we must go to God's word. What's the first commandment? We have no other gods before him. What's the second commandment? We're to know God aright. No graven images, no man-made ideas in our heads, not to make images with our hands and bow down to them, or in our minds, nowhere to know God aright. Can I ask you this evening, are you one who wants to know God aright? Oh yes, you don't want to know error, you want to know truth. Well, you must go to God's word because it's alone certain. It's alone is from God. And God doesn't lie, according to the book of Titus. God will speak to us through his precious word and he'll show us Christ in it. And that means, therefore, that if God guides and speaks to us through his precious word, if someone comes along and says, you know, God has led me to go out with this person, and you may be saved and they're not saved, you can turn around and say, I know for a fact that's not God's will. But I feel it. Well, that doesn't matter. It's not about your feelings. We have one rule of faith and practice, one rule of what we are to believe and one standard of how we are to behave. And that is God's word. God says men and women are not to be unequally yoked. You can apply that to careers, apply that to your life, apply that to your habits, apply that to your hobbies. We go to God's word. We go to God's word. Now, as I said, while we have one standard of faith and practice, yet maybe turn around and say, well, for example, it comes to looking for a marriage partner, looking for that husband or looking for that wife. Well, I go to God's word, and God's word tells me that I'm to look for a godly wife, look for a godly husband, look for a virtuous woman, like Proverbs 31. Well, I look around and see five of them. How do I know which one's right? There was a man called F.B. Meyer. He was a preacher of years ago. You know, a godly man, and whenever he had been preaching in Northern Ireland, he left and he traveled back to England, and as he was on the way, he was on the boat, and as he was coming in towards the harbour, I believe it was Liverpool he was heading to, he began to see all the lights. It was night time, he began to see all the lights along the coast, and he began to wonder, how on earth is this captain of the boat going to know which way to go? He sees all the lights, how does he know which way is going to be the right way for getting into this dock? How is he not going to get confused? And so he had the opportunity to ask the captain. He says, how do you know? And the captain turned around and said, well, you see, at the harbor there, you'll see one light, and you'll see a second light, and you'll see a third light. But as I'm traveling along, all those three lights will align up. Whenever they all align up, then I know that's my time to get in for the harbor. I'll not be too late, I'll not be too early, I'll just be going at the right time, in the right place, whenever all the three lights line up. Three particular, three special lights. And F.B. Meyer, he took that illustration, he applied it to the Christian life, and he said, the first light, of course, is God's word. We want to know God's will, we must go to his word. For marriage, you look for a godly spouse. Or you apply it to career, apply it to friendships. Our brother quoted Psalm 1 regarding friendships. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but the light is in the law of God, and even in those who love it. But the second light, F.E. Meyer went on to say, while God guides through his word, God also guides by his spirit. Those inward promptings. Let me just use an illustration from my own life. Whenever I was at university, I wanted to know God's will for my life. And I was doing this subject of accountancy. Probably say, what a boring subject. Why would anybody ever want to do that? Well, there was one topic in it that was really exciting, and the other ones, well, weren't overly that exciting. But I was doing the subject of accountancy, and I wanted to know, what does God want me to do? And in the midst of that search, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, just give me your heart. Give me your desires. In Psalm 37, verse 4, we're told, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Ask him that his heart will be your heart. His desire will be your desire. His will be your will. And then you shall have the desires that you have, the desire. Then you shall have it. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Just give me your heart. It didn't happen immediately, but over the incoming months, and even over the next year or two, the Lord began to work in my heart and gave me a desire to make his word known in a strong way, and even by his grace to go into college. There is God's guidance, there is God's word, God directs through his word, but he also directs through promptings within your own heart, giving you a specific desire. And therefore, I encourage you, whenever you come down to pray, looking for God to guide and direct you, that you will know him more, love him more, be able to reveal him more. Whether it be in any aspect of life, ask that the Lord will give you the desires that he wants you to have. And then there was a third light, and that was providence. God guides us in his providence. Again, let me just use some examples of my own life to help make it clear. Whenever I was at school, I didn't know what to do. I enjoyed mathematics, I enjoyed art, I enjoyed various things, I didn't know what to do. Whenever I was applying for university, I applied for, I think you get six places you can apply for, and I really wanted to go to Scotland, and so I applied for a university in Scotland, St. Andrews, just because I love golf, no good at it, but I really enjoy golf. And then the other five were all in Northern Ireland, and I said, Lord, just open up the door you want to open. And close the doors you don't want me to go through. And believe it or not, I got five offers that if I met the certain standards, I'd get in. And all five were here in Northern Ireland. And the one I really wanted to go to, where you got to play golf for basically free, I didn't get to go to. I was gutted. But I see God's hand in it. And I thank the Lord for that, for it was right his will for my life. Everyone's different, of course. It was his will for my life. Whenever the Lord led me through university and I was praying about what to do, and I felt the Lord leading me into college through his word and through those promptings, those desires within my own heart, I began to think, well, here, Lord, if this is your will, then open up the door. And if it's not your will, then close the door, because I have to have an interview with my elders. And they could turn around and say, well, look, we know you too well. Just definitely not. Or I then have to have an interview with the college with about 20 ministers and elders. And then I have to have an interview in front of presbytery. Over 100, 150 ministers and elders. And be like, there's loads of opportunities there for God to shut the door. The Lord kept them all open. And God, by his providence, could just have shut the door. Whenever I went through college and was praying, Lord, what church do you want me to serve and what church do you want me to minister in? I said, Lord, open up one door and shut all others in your will. And the Lord did that. He opened up one door and only one door, and that was to go to Tyndale. Oh, the Lord, yes, we have one standard, and it is his precious word. But God also works by his Spirit in your heart. And God will also then work by providence. For example, maybe you're looking for a husband or looking for a wife. Well, you know, you could be looking for a godly person, looking around tonight, and you think, oh, well, they're godly. They want to go on with God, and they could be an encouragement for me in my walk with God. And you could be thinking, well, you know, God's given me a prompting there. God's given me a desire, but you ask that person tonight and say, nope. And you think about it, you know, and you pray about it, and you think, oh, I still really like them. And they're still godly. And you ask again, nope. Unless God's going to open that door, that's not his will. You need all three lights. But someone could say, well, God's given the door, as it were. But yet, God hasn't directed through his word. That's not his standard. Well, it's not right. For example, take Jonah. Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh. And Jonah thought, no, I'll not go to Nineveh. I'll go to Tarshish. And so he went down to Joppa. He went down to the harbor. And right enough, he could have thought, brilliant, God's providence. I got here without being struck down. I'm on the right way here. When he got down to the harbor, he went and he looked. And right enough, there's a boat just about to leave. God's providence. Everything's working just right here for me. There's a boat just about to leave. And he could have said, it's God's providence. And I know it wasn't God's will, because it was an agreement to God's word. Remember the three lights. There's the one standard, God's precious word. Oh, God guides by his word. God guides also through his Spirit, those promptings in your heart, and God will also guide in his providence. Open up the doors, and God will guide in his own time. If I was 13 and I was asking, Lord, I want to know what your will for me is whenever I'm older. If God had told me that I'd have to go through Bible college and have to spend about 70 hours in either classes or in studying afterwards, I thought, you're kidding me. I love sport way too much. But God guided me in his timing step by step. And perhaps you here and you want to know what God's will is for you in a year's time or 5 years' time. Well, if you don't need to know yet, well, God will likely not reveal it to you yet, but he will reveal it to you in time. He'll just lead you step by step. Where will God lead us? He'll always lead us, and according to his great overarching will, to know him, to love him, and to reveal him. How will God guide us? He'll guide us through his precious word. He'll guide us by giving promptings of his Spirit in our hearts, giving the desires that he wants us to have. And he'll also then open up the door whenever he wants us to go through it. Let me just briefly say a third point, and it is, who will God guide? God will guide those who want guided. Whenever I was speaking to my own youth fellowship in Tyndale one night, it was quite an informal setting, so I wouldn't be doing it here, but quite an informal setting, and a lot of all of the youth fellowship are from the town, not brought up in Christian backgrounds at all, and we decided that we'd get a few chairs and set them in a funny order. One of the people then would be blindfolded, put at the back of the room, and someone else would have to give directions to guide them, as it were. The subject was guidance. And so you imagine someone at the back of the room blindfolded, all these chairs, they're going to have to walk left and right and all the rest in order to get round to the front of the room. Only those at the back who wanted to be guided actually got to the front. Because someone could be shouting, you have to turn left and take three steps. The person couldn't even bother turning left or taking three steps or decide, I'm going to turn right and take two steps. They're never going to get to the front. Those who want guided, God will guide. Those who want to know him, those who, even if you're not saved tonight, the Bible tells you, seek ye the Lord. Seek him. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know salvation, if you want to know Christ, seek the Lord. Well, he may be found. You must want it. Cry out to him for salvation. You must cry out for him to change you. Or even for us who are saved, if we want to go on with God, if we want to live a life that's worth loving, want to live a life for him who loved us and died for us, then we must cry for him to direct us, to show us more of himself through his word. God will guide those who want it. God will guide those who are surrendered to him. You know, it's one thing for someone to say, I want God's guidance in relation to career and job, but I don't want God's guidance in relation to some other matter in life. For example, I don't want God's guidance in relation to relationships. I want to do my own thing. You know, God wants you to be surrendered in everything. You know, there's two different types of contract you can make with God. The first is where God will write out a contract for you, and he'll make all the details clear, and then hand it over to you and say, now sign your name at the bottom, and you're going to work out whether you're going to accept it or not. That's not real. It's not true. The type of contract God will ever make with anybody is whereby he gives you a blank piece of paper and says, just sign your name at the bottom. You're willing to do whatever I ask you to do. Willing to do whatever I tell you to do. And to do it in love for me, knowing that I love you, knowing that I will never lead you in the path that's right, knowing my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Whenever Abraham was called by God, Abraham didn't say, God, I want to know exactly about the land you're leading me to. No, Hebrews 11 says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, God gave him a promise, yes, but he didn't know everywhere about the details, but he simply surrendered to God, and God directed him, and God used him, and God led him on with himself. Those who want guidance, those who are surrendered to him, and those who seek to obey him in everything. I may just finish and say tonight that perhaps you say you want to be guided by God, you want to go on with God, you want to have those relationships, have those friends, have that marriage, have that career, have that even, be a godly student in school, be a godly employee in work, you want to do God's will. Yet, you feel, why would God ever answer me? Why would God ever direct me? Well, be encouraged tonight. For of him and through him. Yes, we want to know what's from God. We want to do it for God. But it will never be done through Christ. And the wonderful thing tonight is that Jesus Christ has been sent by the Father. Jesus Christ has been, who is the Almighty God, came down to this earth. Jesus Christ, he loved not those who were worth loving. He loved the ungodly. Jesus Christ died not for those who were good and perfect. Jesus Christ died for those who were sinners. But Jesus Christ, in coming to this earth and loving us and dying on the cross for us, even though he would have to endure so much pain and endure the equivalent of hell forever on that cross, yet he would do it so that our sins, all of them, could be forgiven. All our failures and all mistakes could be forgiven. And he rose again from the dead to ever pray to his Father and say, Lord, direct them. Lord, guide them. Lord, lead them. Not because they deserve it, but Lord, because I deserve it. Look upon my nail-pierced hands. Look upon my perfect, spotless life. Look upon the debt that I have paid, the blood that I have shed. Lord, do it because of me. You can have confidence tonight that the Lord will lead you according to his will because of Christ. I encourage you, come to him in Christ's name. Come to him in Christ's merit. And come to him believing he'll answer prayer because of Christ. If you call out to his name, that you will know him or know him more. That you will love him more. Or that you will reveal him and be used by him in this world. If you call on the name of Christ, he'll answer prayer. Let me ask you this evening, do you care about the will of God? What are you living for? He is living for all those other things that were mentioned. Like Solomon, he tried all the things of his life. He tried alcohol, we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He tried pleasure, he tried hobbies, he tried work. He gave himself to work, he gave himself to labor. He tried all these things, popularity and prestige and money. He gave himself to all of it. And yet he said, all is vanity, all is empty. In fact, he says, it's a torment. But everything that was under the sun. Because what's not empty and what's not torment but delight and joy is he who is above the sun. And that's why he says at the very end of his book, remember now thy creator. In the days of thy youth, what are you living for? there is anything but Christ. And if you have your free time in the evenings, what do you do? That which will lead you on with God. That which is pure and right and righteous, a good report, and there's virtue in it. Or just whatever you want. Well, God will always direct you according to his will, to know him, to love him, and to make him known. But do you want that tonight? If so, cry out to him in Christ's merits, and he'll give it to you. And give it to you more and more every day. Or if you don't, then you'll be able to say at the end of life and then for all eternity, all is vanity and vexation and torment of spirit. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, take thy word, write it upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.